This is the Brant and Sherry podcast. To find out more about the radio show and Brant's new book called Unoffendable, just go to BrantHanson.com.
We are talking dating here. I hate this system, this dating thing. It just doesn't make any sense at all why we do this stuff. So I thought, to make my point, I would allow people to tell their stories of really miserable experiences with this system of dating. Hey there, this is...
Jennifer.
Jen, hey.
I went on a date with this guy. I was still in high school. And we lived in a town that was... When we went to... I lived in Texas, and so we had to drive to Fort Worth, and that was like an hour drive. So this was a big deal. He took me to Fort Worth, and we went to, you know, what we thought was a nice restaurant, and we got in the parking lot, and right when I opened the car door, I threw up all over the inside of the door in the parking lot. And so...
Why?
Then I had been feeling a little bit sick anyway, but I wanted to go on this date, so... So I went, and then he had to turn around and drive me all the way back home.
So the date was, he comes, picks you up, drives you an hour, you throw up there, and then you turn around and go home.
That sounds right.
I feel like eating at that point.
And then and then he proposed, and now you're married to him?
No.
Huh. Jen was telling us about how the guy she's married to now, it was a blind date when you guys met?
You know, the interesting thing about that is... The girl who set me up on this blind date with my now husband, she says she's known him for a year, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so I go on this date, and I come home because she was my roommate, and she's asking me how it went, and then she says to me, what does he look like? And I said, what do you mean, what does he look like? You're the one that set me up on this date with him.
That's a good
and
question.
And she said... Oh, I've never met him. They had both put personals ads in the paper, and they had been corresponding
what
by
the
phone
world?
For a year, but never met each other.
That's like a double blind date. Nobody knows who this is. Nobody.
But, I mean, it worked out.
But years later, look at this.
And then you got married.
Right.
To the guy nobody knew.
Yeah.
Don't try this at home, ladies and gentlemen.
No. I think I found the perfect match. What's he like? I don't know.
But he's your guy.
But I don't know you either, so it's a perfect fit. Driving home last night, there's this church out by the highway that has three big crosses out there, and they're all lit up.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself, when I see that, I don't look at the middle cross. I tend to look at the one on the side more and more, because I'm always thinking about the guy on the cross next to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I identify with that guy more.
Mm-hmm.
He's a complete failure, and... People say he was a thief on the cross, but he must have been guilty of something far worse, because
mm-hmm.
he even acknowledged, I deserve to die for what I did.
Right.
If he had just, you know, stolen a loaf of bread, that wouldn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't put people to death for that. There was something else that was going on
mm-hmm.
that they had done, something horrible.
You get the feeling it's a career criminal kind of thing.
Totally. Yeah. Or he was an insurgent, or somebody mm-hmm. was attacking people to take government things or something. I don't know what was going on. But he even acknowledged, I deserve to die. This man doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, remember me to Jesus. He had nothing to offer. Think about that for you. If you're somebody who is a complete spiritual loser, you wouldn't be able to be next to Jesus. Oh, yeah, but I also taught Sunday school. I mean, you got to consider that. I'm a pretty good person. The minute you start doing that stuff, you don't get it. This guy has nothing to offer Jesus whatsoever. And Jesus has the best news in history. He turns to him and says, today you... will be with me in paradise. The guy gave him nothing. And Jesus says, your humble heart and recognizing who I am is enough. Yeah, that is amazing. And Sherry pointed this out. That was the last move on the cross from Jesus towards someone
is to say, it can't be about works. It can't be about you.
Right.
Because this guy can do nothing on the cross. There's nothing he can do but believe and humble himself.
This is such great news if you're humble. If you're not, if you actually think that I'm a pretty good person. I'm pretty religious. I do a lot of good things. Jesus has to recognize that. God has to recognize what I've done. Then it's not good news.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's frustrating. Wait a second. I did all this stuff. That is never what he was after, was it? He was after your heart. And this man on the cross gave God what God wanted. Humility and his heart. That's what he has always wanted. Would love to stay in contact with you on our Facebook page. It's just Brant Hanson page on Facebook. That's it. And it's a great way for us to keep up. People post stuff all the time. read it all. It matters. Appreciate the relationship. It's not just a one-way thing. And for all the dumb stuff that's on Facebook, and for all the dumb stuff that Facebook does.
Or people do on Facebook.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm thankful for it.
It's connection.
It totally.
Yeah.
And we've always struggled with that. Being on the radio, it's like, it seems like a one-way conversation sometimes, but we don't want it to be. And we really do value this as friends. When somebody says, you feel like friends to us, that matters a lot. Mm-hmm. So if you want to join us on Facebook, it's just Brant Hansen, H-A-N-S-E-N, Page. That's it on Facebook. His name is Alan. He asked a great question. This is such a good question. He said, Brant, I heard you talking about autism and how you're on the spectrum and stuff. You have Asperger's. Here's what he says. He said, I wish I could talk to you about that. A young man has entered into our lives and I'm trying to understand him. Do you have any advice? Again, that's from Alan on my Facebook page. Alan, I would start with books by Tony Atwood. It's A-T-T Wood. Really good introduction. But what I loved about your question, I mean, there's so many good books and resources about Asperger's now and autism spectrum stuff. But what I love about this is you're saying, I want to understand him. That is such a relief for somebody who's not normally understood. To have somebody acquaint themselves with different aspects of what it means to have Asperger's, or it could be anything. But just to take the time to actually read up on it, you go, oh, I get it. You feel like you can let your guard down finally and that you're not a freak. Like there's somebody, you don't realize what a relief that is unless you've been through something like that where people understand and now they're just cool with you. I mean, wow, you appreciate that. So thank you. Great question. Warning, about to talk about Jesus here. Most people are cool with that. Some people, you know who gets nervous about me talking about Jesus mostly? Is people who are religious, interestingly enough.
Why, do you think?
I don't know exactly. I think some people are more used to talking about church stuff, mm-hmm. church culture stuff, religious stuff, rather than Jesus himself. And I hear more of the Bible quoted sometimes from those quarters that aren't about Jesus per se.
Mm-hmm.
He's it, though. He's the whole thing, which is different. We talked about differences between religions yesterday, kind of hit on that. That's a huge one. There's other belief systems, but Jesus doesn't point toward a belief system. He doesn't point you toward a moral system. Like, here, try to live this way and that way, and then you'll earn some credit with God, and that's how you work your way to godliness or ultimately to something. He's not about that at all. He's about himself. And so if people actually read what he says, you can't just be like, yeah, he's a good teacher. He's a good guy. But, you know, I'm not going to take it too far. He doesn't allow that. You either take it all the way or you don't take it at all because it's all about him. He's not pointing you to a way, a system. He's saying, I am the way. I am it. He's the whole focus of everything. It is such great news for me. I am not a naturally moral person at all. If you knew what was inside my head, you may not listen to me. And if I knew what was inside your head, I may not talk to you. So we might have a night's understanding here. But you know what? I think I would. And maybe you would too if you already realized, hey, we're broken. But I love this about Jesus in particular. There's nothing, no one else like this. There's no other alternative to Jesus that's anything like this grace thing where he knows us thoroughly. He's not calling us to a moral system. He's calling us to a relationship with him. He wants to know us. That's fantastic, because I can't keep a moral system. I've learned this. If you honestly think you're listening to this like, yeah, well, I'm pretty good. I think I can do this. I think you're being naive. I think we're all messed up. I don't think any of us is good or perfect morally. And if we try to be perfect, ultimately we find out, I'm falling short. He's the answer. That's the best news ever. He's all we need. This lady is amazing. She gave birth, and it wasn't a C-section or anything. 14-pound baby.
I saw that little trooper.
Yeah.
Oof.
And she's like, wow, that hurt. And apparently dad was going, oh, yeah, linebacker. That was his exact reaction.
It did, a little bit. He looks just like a little linebacker.
He totally does. Mom is in shock. Dad is really pleased. This story just really gets me. It has to do with a robot and a lady in Japan. And it's not fair.
For the robot, it's not fair.
It's not fair.
The robot is being accused.
Unfairly accused.
And to be sure, you are a huge, huge fan of robots.
I love robots.
So you would take probably a robot side over a human.
Yeah. Well, in this case, I mean, think about it. Here's what happened. She's got a Roomba for her hardwood floors, right?
Right.
So it's a robot. It goes around and it cleans your floors for you. Like, that's not laudable enough that it's cleaning your floor for you.
Okay.
So she goes to sleep on the floor. Mm-hmm. With her hair all over the place on the hardwood floor.
On her floor.
And she's got her robot doing what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it...
It did what?
It...
Go ahead, say
quote, it. Quote-unquote, attacked her head. That's not the robot's fault. You can go, well, look, see, robots are turning against us.
Mm-hmm.
We always have to worry. See, technology. No, it's doing what it was supposed to.
It's not supposed to suck her head into
it. Don't lie on the floor when you're unleashing a floor cleaning robot on the floor. Just a tip for everybody out there. Let that be your tip for the day. This older friend of mine named Don, he's great to talk to. He's always asking questions. And it makes you think. Because a lot of times we'll go through life without thinking about big questions. He'll ask you, what do you want right now? What do you really want? So you have to think about that and you have to hear yourself say it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the follow-up question is better. He'll say, why? Like, really, why? Why do you want that? What's really going on? And if you sit and you think about it, he actually talks with a lot of guys and ladies who are in pastoral roles.
Okay.
They're in some kind of Christian leadership.
Well, that's a really good question.
Isn't
when
it?
When you're in Christian leadership, because you never really consider those questions.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying this from, because I've been there. You don't consider those questions because it's all under the umbrella of, you know.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm out here ministering, I'm doing this. And you never really get a chance to purge your intentions.
Yeah. Why? And you find out, and he's found out, a lot of us have a lot of desires that are in conflict. I want to please God, but really what I want, I do want that, but I also want attention.
Mm-hmm.
Or I also just want people to like me, or I want people to respect me, or people to be impressed by me.
Mm-hmm.
We're all a mixed bag of motives, aren't we? And God will still use us. But I love the idea of just asking the questions. So you have to think about this stuff. We'll just skate through without ever asking ourselves tough questions. Why do we really want that? Is it approval? And from whom? And to what end? Is it actually going to satisfy you? I think all of us, let's just be honest, all of us are afraid that if we're totally honest, people will walk away from us. Mm-hmm. If we're totally honest. God won't. How wonderful is that?
Because he already knows.
Already knows. He knows you better than you know yourself, still loves you. Isn't that amazing? All the fears that you have in your mind, like, I am so messed up, or I'm so selfish, or I'm such a fake, or whatever it is in your head. God already knows you. He sees all the stuff you're doing. He doesn't like everything we do, of course, because he wants the best for us, but he still wants you.
So when you see that characteristic, that's happened to me more often than I'd like to admit. When you see that characteristic of yourself and you're shocked by it, like, oh my goodness, that's in my heart, that's in my mind. But it doesn't shock him. He already knew.
No.
So it's a revelation to me, not him.
Still loves you. Still would be willing to sacrifice himself for you. Still finds you that desirable. Wants you specifically. Desires you. Specifically, the stuff he gave you to do, the place he has you in life, where he has you living, the people that are around you, he wants you there. That is incredible. You're not going to find anything else like that. And he'll never just go, oh, you disgust me. It's up to you. You turn toward him, you turn away from him. He allows us to make that decision. We've been talking about the dating scene. I just think there's so much wrong with it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. So I don't understand any of it.
You are a fan of arranged marriages.
Absolutely.
Here's who you're going to marry. No need
absolutely.
To
and you don't have to date. Go through all this business, posturing. I'm trying to figure out what it is that women find attractive. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery to me.
Doesn't matter. You're stuck with me.
Yeah, I'll ask women. We've done this on the show many times. Like, what do you find attractive in a man? If they're honest, apparently they should say he plays football, but then none of them say that.
Why do you say that's the honest
answer? Because I remember from high school. That's all that mattered.
I see what's going on here.
Yeah, there's some hurt that's coming to the surface. Nobody said raw intelligence and knowledge of world geopolitical events.
Scholastic Bowl wasn't on their list.
Nobody ever said that. So your first date was pretty difficult? Or
first date I had with a really pretty girl, my car died. So I called my good friend AAA, showed them my ineptitude by having to call my good friend AAA.
It's not ineptitude.
It's
resourcefulness.
Oh, no.
I would think women would find that attractive. Like, he's in a motor club. I would think from a woman's perspective that would show, hey, this guy's in a club. That's pretty cool.
Well,
and
it's nice.
You would be attracted to that guy.
It's nice that he has AAA, but it's also attractive when a guy can fix his own car. Both and.
I would think you'd be like, wow, a very nice club. But we have Joe's wife on the phone. What did you think when this happened?
I was thinking, can we continue our date? Because I was ready. I was looking forward to this date.
So, Cindy, you didn't think, oh, he can't fix his own car. You were thinking, this guy is a part of the motor club, and that's pretty impressive.
I thought, this guy is awesome.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Someone's insecurity is showing
in
here.
Sherry's face.
I'm getting this.
He's getting this car fixed, and we're going to move
on. Yeah.
Triple A.
Triple A indeed.
There's something really tricky. If you're like me or Sherry, and look, we got people listening who are atheists, agnostics, dyed-in-the-wool, church people, all across the board. It just so happens that the two of us were raised in church. Mm-hmm. We've been around religion for a long time. We can impress people.
Yeah, you learn the language.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Wow, you're really... We could do that. Mm-hmm. Problem is, it's a lie, and we can even believe it. You can start to believe yourself. You've been around religion long enough. Where you're like, oh, I've done this and that, I'm a pretty good person. God doesn't want your resume. He would set it on fire. Mm-hmm. Your resume's worthless. He wants your heart. I could have done all that stuff. I can make a list of, I'm a missionary. All that stuff. And you could go, wow, worthless. If he doesn't know me.
That's what Paul said.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
He said, stronger than set it on fire terms.
Yeah.
He said it's dung, his whole resume, and he had an impressive one. All that education, knowledge, and stuff, it's actually a little dangerous because it can fool you into thinking you're not lost when you are. People are aware of the Brian Williams story and stuff from NBC, lying about stuff, apparently, maybe. I don't know. Looks not good.
Mm-hmm.
You ever lied? I mean, it's a joke to people because we want to trust the news, and I know it's a meme. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I've lied.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about getting angry with people or getting on our high horse about stuff. We can't ever because we're just as guilty as they are. I wrote about that in the book. It's called Unoffendable. If you want to read it, you can. You may disagree. But to me, that was one of the points about if I'm going to stay angry at somebody in my life who's done something to me, I'm like, no, I should be angry. I should stay angry about this.
What I'm implying is that I haven't done anything that is the same or worse.
Right?
Yeah. And we all
I can't
have.
Get around that. I can't get around thinking that the implication is exactly what you said. I'm not guilty of what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Jesus totally blows that apart. It's like, if you've ever hated somebody, if you've ever been like, that person's dead to me, you've killed them effectively. Morally, you're on the same level with a murderer. There's no one that you can look at and go, that person's worse than me. This is shocking. It's scandalizing. But that's what Jesus said. I mean, I didn't make it up. That's what he said. Hey, my name is Brant. I'm a married guy, and I know this. Little hint to younger guys who are married. Today's a great day to get Valentine's stuff. Get flowers today. Don't wait. Because if you wait till Valentine's Day, it's more expensive and the lines are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great day to go out to eat today.
Okay.
Just call it your own personal Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait till February 14th is the worst of all possible days to
because there are lines and everyone is trying to get into dinner and movies and all that, especially now that it's going to be on a weekend.
And why? I mean, it's affixed to February 14th for a historical reason that you're not even aware of. Let's admit, you don't know.
You don't understand why it's going on. Right?
So why not now? And I say this as a reminder myself because as I'm leaving the studio, I'm going to go get flowers.
Go get some flowers. Yep. Got it. Okay.
The Brantster is going into full operation days in advance.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To find out more about the radio show and Brant's new book called Unoffendable, just go to BrantHanson.com.